Oh, man, get ready for some upset football tonight. All right, welcome to Speak for Yourself. I'm Jason Whitlock. That is Marcellus Wiley, that dude.
Yes, sir.
Coming up, we'll tell you if it's World Series or bust for the Dodgers.
And if Drew Brees is on the same level as Peyton Manning. I just said that. But we start with today's Whitlocks. What you got today,
Big Boy? Oh, I got some Thursday Night Football on Big Fox.
All right.
I got Andrew Luck in a big spot tonight. All right, you smell that, Marcel?
I smell what you're cooking.
You smell that? That's an upset brewing. That's Andrew Luck delivering on all his potential and promise tonight. That's Frank Reich erasing the stench of his boneheaded overtime decision from last Sunday. The New England Patriots, Cowherd's favorite team, 10-point favorites tonight over the Colts. They're going down inside Gillette Stadium. Andrew Luck needs this victory far more than Tom Brady. Luck is 0-5 against Bill Belichick and the Patriots. Luck's passer rating drops nearly 20 points when he faces a Belichick-led defense. To be the man, you have to beat the man. Andrew Luck needs a signature performance and victory to stamp himself as back as an elite quarterback.
Woo!
It's been too long since he pulled off something amazing. In my opinion, his signature NFL moment came at the conclusion of the 2013 season when he rallied the Colts from a 28-point deficit for a 45-44 victory over the Chiefs in the playoffs. That hurt. And at that time, everybody thought Luck was the heir to the throne shared by Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. He peaked the next season, throwing 40 touchdown passes, and the NFL Network ranked him as the 7th best player in the entire league. It's pretty much been misfortune and injuries ever since. In 4 years, he's won 11 games and lost 15. His stats look nice this season. He's played at a high level, but the Colts are 1-3. And as bad as Reich's go-for-it decision was last week, you know what was just as bad as that 4th-and-4 brain fart? Luck's throw. No one is talking about Luck's fastball at the receiver's ankles. It was horrible. It was uncatchable. It's a throw Brock Osweiler would make, not something you'd expect from a potential legend. Tonight is Luck's night of redemption. Tonight, Luck reminds football fans that he was the guy who was supposed to be the next John Elway, not Patrick Mahomes, the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
Obviously, the shoulder injuries have made it impossible for Luck to launch the ball the way Elway did and Mahomes does. What Luck can still be is the next Brady or Manning, a quarterback who beats you with his mind as much as his arm. There's no excuses tonight. Indy's defense isn't great. It's middle of the road. But the Colts can get after the quarterback. They're 2nd in the league in sacks with 17 total. They'll heat up Brady, force the Patriots to punt occasionally, and I expect Luck to put 35 points on the scoreboard and remind everyone why he was seen as the most can't-miss quarterback prospect since John Elway in 1983. Patriots go down tonight, Marcellus, and Andrew Luck is the primary reason. Patriots just go down tonight, Marcellus.
I heard all that. I'm still processing, smelling what you're cooking in the kitchen. Not exactly what you said, upset brewing, but let's, in order to have proper messaging, extract a line item from your Whitlock and expand on it.
Okay.
Let's put up Andrew Luck's record against one master, Bill Belichick. Damn, donut in 5. Okay, donut in 5. Let me do some simple math. Carry the 1. That win percentage is 0. Okay. He's never been able to beat him. Everything else just supports the fact that he's never been able to beat Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. So now let's talk about what that means. And let me take you into the locker room where Coach would sit there after seeing something like this and then would challenge all of us, Whitlock. You know what he would say to us, Whitlock? You're supposed to say, what does he say?
What's he say?
Because you wasn't there. This ain't Ball State, homie.
All right, what does he say?
Okay. You know what he would say?
What?
Either you're due or you do. And this is the situation. Are you due, Andrew Luck, to beat the Patriots finally? Or are you just do? And I hate to say this, but against the Patriots and Bill Belichick, Andrew Luck is doo-doo, dog. And he's not going to be able to pick himself up this time because this is a compromised version of Andrew Luck versus the healthy version that still had no success against Belichick. What gives you the faith the same guy who came and threw the Hail Mary for his team to win a ball game is now going to go in there and get his first win against Belichick?
It's inevitable. He will not retire having never beaten the Patriots. So it's inevitable.
Okay.
But more than that.
He's due, huh?
More than he's due.
Okay.
More than that, I'm just telling you, Frank Reich embarrassed himself last week. And they are backed up against the wall.
Great point.
A 1-4 start is going to unleash some desperation in Frank Wright, in Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck co-signed for that decision last week. And just because I'm the only one that has pointed out that that pass he threw was garbage,
right.
Trust me, Andrew Luck knows it was garbage. And that's one of the reasons why he co-signed for that decision, because he didn't put the ball in a place where the receiver could even make a play to back up his coach. Andrew Luck has to push some chips into the middle of the table tonight. The Patriots, I think, are a little overvalued because of the Miami win. And to me, that Miami blowout said more about the Dolphins being fraud than the Patriots having fixed all of their problems. I don't believe in the Patriots' offensive line. I do believe in this Indianapolis Colts defensive line. They got some dude I never heard of that's like 6'8", 290 pounds, that's got 4 sacks from the interior. Defensive tackle, not a defensive end. They have a for real defensive line. They're getting 4 sacks a game. They are going to heat Brady up, cause a turnover or two, force some punts, and then it will be on Andrew Luck to deliver tonight and deliver for 4 quarters. I just think he's due. I think they're desperate. I think no way he can come out this year and start 1-4. He or Frank Wright. But I think you have a bit of a problem with Andrew Luck.
Oh, me?
You? Yeah. I really think where your cynicism, because this 10-point line, I'm telling you, is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I think your cynicism is you think Andrew Luck has gotten a pass most of his career.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to fast forward to the thinking cap segment when you're media, but I do have a problem with the media, and I'm pointing a finger at you in particular and the masses of media that's giving this guy a pass.
How?
Okay, this is a player that we heard was the best prospect since John Elway. Now, using that as a measurement of expectations, has he delivered on those expectations? Yes or no, Jason Whitlock?
The first 3 years, he went 11-5 every year, and he played in the AFC Championship game. And I haven't been the hugest Andrew Luck supporter. But when you go look at what he did when healthy, yeah.
Okay. I loved how you qualified all that and gave me a longer answer than yes or no, because you didn't want to really be narrowed down to yes or no. I will support this with another full screen. Look at me, got all this support today. Check this out in terms of why he's getting a pass. This is the Cam Newton who we do mental gymnastics for to criticize. Can't give him enough credit. And Andrew Luck, who we just can't stop giving him praise despite the situation of performance. Cam Newton, number 1 overall pick. Andrew Luck, same guy. National champion winner, so expectations should have been higher, but they weren't. Versus a guy who never even won his conference championship. We got a Heisman winner on one side that we criticized. Has Andrew Luck ever won a Heisman? No. Super Bowl appearance by one Cam Newton. Did Andrew Luck ever make the Super Bowl? No. NFL MVP. Cam Newton, Superman. Has Andrew Luck ever been MVP? No. And we're talking about durability. The best ability is availability. One guy has missed 3 games as a pro, including a car accident played that week. And another guy has missed 26 games, including a ski accident when he was already injured and missed the entire year. But I ask you, Jason Whitlock, once again, has he lived up to expectations? And where's all this wait and see approach coming for Andrew Luck when we don't give Cam Newton even that kind of respect?
Marcellus, I got to give you credit. Nobody moves the goalposts quite like you, and you just moved them brilliantly. You just changed this from a conversation about Andrew Luck to how's he stack up to Cam Newton. And look, I would be on board with you.
Okay.
Because I love Cam Newton and the way he's playing this year.
Yeah.
I think he's playing at a really high level. And you're right, he's been the MVP and all those things. And yes, if you compare resume to resume, you would quite, well, damn, Cam gets criticized, Luck doesn't. So I'll go there with you.
Yeah.
But what I'll say is, some guys bring criticism on themselves.
Oh, I give you that.
Some guys.
I give you that.
Some guys lose in the Super Bowl and don't talk to the media and pout. Some guys throw a towel over their head and pout on the sidelines.
And some guys are at home watching it.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck.
No question about
right.
it. But there are things you can do to bait the media. Some guys stand up in front of the media and try to crack a joke about a female reporter understanding football and all that other stuff. So Cam Newton, love him to death, and I've never given up on him, even when he was struggling. I was like, man, you don't give up on young people. You don't give up on people with that much talent. I get it. Cam off the field and things not having to do with all just playing the quarterback position brings some of the criticism on himself. Andrew Luck doesn't do that. Andrew Luck is a goofball.
I'll give you that all shucks guy. Yeah,
he's a goofball.
He wins the press conference, and look, he's talented, and we know he's good, and expectations may be a little absurd based on what we've seen. But since Cam Newton loses the press conference, I don't understand why that bleeds onto his performance. And if Cam Newton had the nerve to walk up to a Patriot game with an 0-5 record, the outcry will be much louder than what we're hearing right now. We're saying, wait and see. We're saying, I'm wishing on a star. You wishing for this dude to ball out when we kill guys when they haven't succeeded yet.
Listen, I'm consistent. Young people and talent, I don't give up on.
I'm with you there.
So I don't give up on Cam Newton. Tonight, I'm not giving up on Andrew Luck. He's a young person with talent, has had some injuries. I do think you're right in terms, you know, he comes from Stanford. Mm-hmm. He didn't have that controversy that Cam had in college.
Right.
And so, and look, the media a lot of times wants to talk about things other than football because that's what they're comfortable with. That's what they know. Football is a complicated game. A lot of guys even covering the media don't really understand, covering football don't really understand it. You make some fair points. I'm pushing some chips into the middle of the table on Andrew Luck. If this doesn't go well, expect me to walk it all the way back. Because, look, he ain't my guy. I'm not a Colts fan. I'm a Chiefs fan. I'm a Pacer fan. I'm from Indianapolis originally, but Colts didn't treat Jeff George right. The Colts wasn't there when I was growing up as a kid. I'm not a Colts guy. I do think Andrew Luck has a chance here to justify some of the hype.
You know, push all your chips in the middle, but that's how casinos are built in Vegas. Keep betting on a dude that's 0-5 against Belichick that tonight's the night. Keep pushing the middle.
Tonight's the night.
We'll get right back to the show, but first, I wanted to tell our listeners about HelloFresh. HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients so you can just cook, eat, and enjoy. Why do I recommend HelloFresh? There's something for everyone. Three plans to choose from: classic, veggie, and family. Each box is made up of fresh, responsibly obtained ingredients from carefully selected farms and high-rated trusted sources. Make family dinners fuss-free with HelloFresh's picky eater, kid-tested, and approved family plan recipes. Rediscover the excitement of cooking. Look forward to your HelloFresh delivery, knowing dinner just got that much easier. HelloFresh believes cooking should be simple and convenient, not a chore. All the ingredients come pre-measured in handy labeled meal kits so you know which ingredients to go with each recipe. Won't spend time all night in the kitchen because recipes only take around 30 minutes. There are many benefits of subscribing, so you can keep enjoying HelloFresh week after week. Spend less time meal planning and grocery shopping each week and get that time back to do more of what you love. Get delicious, filling meals delivered right to your door every week for less than $10 per serving and free shipping. For a total of $60 off, that's $20 off your first three boxes, visit HelloFresh.com/speak60 and enter speak60. Again, for a total of $60 off, that's $20 off your first three boxes, visit HelloFresh.com/speak60 and enter speak60 as the promo code. So visit HelloFresh today.
All right, welcome back. He's Marcellus Wiley. I'm Jason Whitlock. Let's get to some big stories, starting right here in Los Angeles, where the Dodgers kick off their National League Division Series against the Braves tonight. It's now been 30 years since the Dodgers' last World Series championship, and after coming up just short last year against the Astros, the LA Times now says it's championship or bust for Dave Roberts' crew. Marcellus, you agree?
Disagree. Absolutely disagree. It's interesting how L.A. will sell itself as we are the hub and the epicenter of culture. We export our culture all across the world. And what we're trying to do right now is export a team that hasn't won a World Series in 30 years and say this is a World Series or bust campaign for this team. How? With the injuries and the inconsistencies they've had this year, This was a good sale last year when the team looked like, hey, you should win the World Series and came one game short, despite some implosions by Clayton Kershaw and Kenley Jansen. And it's interesting, the video started off with Kenley Jansen and his inconsistencies this year. This is a guy who's given up 13 home runs, used to be the best reliever, certainly in the National League, 13 home runs this season alone. That's four more than the previous two seasons combined. This is not a team that is supposed to win the World Series. This is a scrappy bunch that have four must-win games, that won those games, got hot at the right time, but at the same time, the expectations are lower. We're trying to sell this more so than know this.
I think you may have missed the point of the LA Times story, in my view. Look, what they got the third highest payroll in baseball, so I don't want to hear any excuses. But more than that, you got the LA Rams going gangbusters.
Okay.
And you got LeBron James now in town with the Lakers.
Right.
And so what if the Dodgers want to keep this a Dodgers town when the NFL has shown up in the biggest way possible, this exciting offense, this team that looks like it's going to be a Super Bowl contender moving forward, not just this year, moving forward. LeBron James is going to be here for at least 4 years, paired with Magic Johnson. Maybe not this year, but in the following year, they're probably going to have someone for LeBron to play with. If the Dodgers don't want to be in third place, which maybe they already are now, it's World Series or bust. You can't go 30 years without winning a title and compete against a powerhouse football team and the biggest star in all of sports, LeBron James.
Well, look, I don't think 30 years has been the issue for the Dodgers because they've had the highest payroll before. They keep beating their own record, and now they've dropped to third when they used to be first. Attendance records, they keep beating their own attendance records. But the Lakers didn't lose any of its luster in terms of it being number one in L.A. despite its lowly times in the 90s and despite its lowly times in the last 5 years. Like, we keep saying, oh, and the Raiders and Rams were here before. The Rams have not supplanted the Raiders despite their success now. And if they win the Super Bowl, it's still a Raiders town.
I'm not sure.
You're not sure? But
I don't know if that'll be true.
I would say this, that baseball – in terms of what it means to L.A., it's historical. Like the game is. It's a game of numbers. It's a game of that history. Dodgers need to win for the Dodgers. But don't sell a Showtime version of the Dodgers when this is a scrappy bunch that may get out in the first round.
All right, to a big story in the NBA, where the league's annual survey of general managers just picked LeBron James as the favorite to win MVP this year. It's hard to believe, but LeBron hasn't won the award since 2013. And our friend Chris Carter on First Things First says winning this year would carry a special significance.
I feel as if LeBron does win MVP, it's like his fourth championship. 16th year in the league at this age. And I think this is a tremendous compliment coming from the general managers.
All right, so I saw this morning. I thought it was an interesting discussion Chris was having. Could a championship, an MVP be just as valuable to LeBron's legacy as another title?
No, and I think when you hear that, you try to process that, and you say, oh, that makes sense, you know? Like, at this age, 34, and playing for another franchise, and to be the best in the world, but actually get respected as the MVP by journalists, amazing. Until you start to think, the collective doesn't respect MVPs like they do championships. Go to any barbershop, go to any sports bar and sit there and start saying, hey, man, how many MVPs does Jordan have?
Five.
Right. And then you say, how many does Kareem have?
Six.
How many does Shaq have?
One or two.
There
he
we go.
Robbed. Now he got robbed.
How many drinks
he
you
got
had?
Robbed by Steve
How many
Nash.
Drinks you had?
He got one, I think.
Okay. Larry Bird. Magic.
Larry Bird had three or four.
There you go. See, that's the thing.
Magic had five.
Four. See, here we go. Yeah. Now, you ready?
Yeah.
It's interesting how you're starting to get divided and start. But when I start saying how many championships, it's not three or four. It's not four. It's boom. And that's the problem with LeBron. He's not going to win the MVP. It's a traveling trophy. And even if he does, we're not going to say, oh, that's your fourth ring. We're going to say you were due more MVPs in the past.
If he gets to a fifth MVP, that's the same number as Michael Jordan. And trust me, the LeBron lovers will start making that a part of their argument. He's got five MVPs. And he got his fifth at age 34 on a Lakers team that wasn't that good. They'll make it part of their argument. I do think it will enhance his legacy. Will it make it the equal of Michael Jordan? No. Is it the equal of another championship? No.
Right.
But it is a nice, another accomplishment that LeBron can add. And trust me, if he gets his fifth, he's going to damn sure make sure he gets his sixth and tie him with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and have one more than Michael Jordan. And so I do think it'll just be another little feather in LeBron's cap in his war against Michael Jordan and the people that are involved in it. Look, to me, he'll never be the equal of Michael Jordan.
Ooh, you went there.
But no, he'll never be the equal of Michael Jordan.
Another segment.
And if he gets two or three
we gotta championships. We got to add that segment one day.
Yeah, he'll never be the equal of Michael Jordan.
Don't do that.
But if he gets this extra MVP, it enters him a step closer.
Look, look, LeBron has to have all these parts add up to be a greater sum than what he is, because Jordan is perfection. LeBron is, like you said, another feather. You know, you used to walk to the bank when you were little and you didn't have a dollar. You had 100 pennies. I got a dollar once I walk out the bank, but right. I walked in with 100 pennies. This is another penny to that collection to try and catch up to that $1 bill that Jordan has already placed down. I don't think it measures up, as you even said. MVPs versus championships. I've never heard a player preseason say, you know what my goal is this year? Go out there and get that MVP.
That's because they don't say it that loud, but trust me, a lot of them had that goal. Kevin Durant's got it this year. Mm. I guarantee you.
Would he take it in place of a championship?
Maybe.
Oh, stop. Now we're doing TV.
Maybe.
Now we're doing TV.
Maybe. Stop. All right, let's move to college baseball, where the University of Georgia decided to dismiss one of its best players, senior first baseman Adam Sasser, after reports that Sasser directed racial slurs from the stands at Bulldogs backup quarterback Justin Fields during the football team's game against Tennessee on Saturday. Marcellus,
yes.
Was dismissing Sasser from the team the right move?
Absolutely, it's the right move. I'll give you something Grandma used to tell me, and I know you're religified, you're a spiritual guy, yep. You go to church. Grandma said, God whispers before he yells. And think about this when you're talking about a student athlete who is held to a higher standard because of all the perks and all the accolades you're given, just being on the team, let alone being successful and good at the team. You get to walk around with the sweatsuit, the empty backpack. You get to go to the frat party and say hello to the girl. She already knows your name before you even said hello. All the perks, and there is some fine print. You can't act stupid like everyone else. So here's the thing that really is discouraging about this. One, that the N-word was in him. Like, somewhere in him, he felt comfortable N-word, whether in private or not. But he took it outside. And then not only did he take it outside, they told him to stop when he was outside. And he kept going. Guess what? It's time to yell at this dude. It's time to come down with the hammer. And I think that this is setting a great example of whatever your private behavior is, which we don't even want to support.
This is public behavior, but go ahead.
Yeah, whatever your private behavior is, please respect that it's private behavior. Now, representing our university as a member of the baseball team, you got to take the hell that comes from it.
I think that there was a young woman involved in this who I thought handled everything very appropriately, asked him to stop, got the police to come over to try to get him to stop, and he did eventually, and then went someplace where you complain about fan behavior and did it perfect.
Yes.
As an adult, I'm very reluctant to give up on people because I just know the mistakes I made in youth.
True.
And thank God some of them didn't become public, because I made some serious mistakes and things that I would put on par with this dude being an idiot. So I felt like what should have happened is he should have been suspended from the team and punished. And then when I see behavior like this, this is someone that needs help, literally needs some mental help. And so I'm not for discarding people. I'm for giving them the help that they need. He needs some counseling, because if you're out in public at a sporting event surrounded by all these people you don't know, and you're a representative of that university, and there's another representative of that university that you have a partnership and alliance with, you're both student athletes, and you think, I don't care how much alcohol was consumed, you think this is appropriate. This is somebody, to me, screaming for help, and I would rather give him help than to ostracize him and move him out of society, because I just know there have been times in my life where I've needed help and thank God I was given time to evolve and mature and become a better person.
Okay, look, I'm not saying ostracize a guy. I'm saying you need help, and we're going to put this in proper priority, which is your life, your personal issues first, not baseball first, and then let's get you help on the side. So this is a way to reprioritize what's important to this kid. And the kid has to go through this process, sometimes being told that that's not good enough and we're going to discipline you in terms of action is the wake-up call you need. So I don't want to make this guy think, oh, I could go to practice in a week or two if I just go through this routine process of evaluation. This is good. And the guy owned up to it. He seems to show some contrition, respect for that. And thank God this is not another case of someone saying this is some rap lyrics. Tired of hearing that one, dog.
No, this was not rap.
No, this is
an idiot. All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley, we're joined now by Fox NFL analyst Mark Slair and D'Angelo Hall. All right, guys, let's move to New Orleans, where Drew Brees needs just 20 yards Monday night against the Redskins to break Peyton Manning's all-time passing record.
Drew down.
While Peyton is always mentioned in the greatest QB of all time discussion, Brees might deserve more consideration in that conversation. While he never got the MVP love that Peyton did, statistically, he stacks up a lot closer to Manning than most people probably realize. Gentlemen, I'm not the hugest Peyton Manning guy, but he's on a different planet than Drew Brees.
Okay.
I think this is silly.
Wow, that's a lot, because I'm a huge Peyton Manning guy. And I agree with you, even though I don't want to take that shot at Drew Brees, who was drafted my first year in San Diego. He was a rookie drafted to that team. And we didn't see this coming. The NFL didn't see this coming, in part why he was a second rounder. And so because he's a victim of his own branding, he's not a former number one overall pick, you don't get that machinery behind you to hype up your numbers.
There's no MVPs, Marcel.
You overhear my notes, because the reason why I'm sitting there like, this is not a conversation. I have 5 MVPs while you still were in the NFL. Like, I won my first one. You were playing. And I've got 5 of those, and you have Donut? That's enough to just end this argument right there. Respect to Drew Brees.
You the DB.
No, I'm laughing because, come on, man. Drew is not the sexy pick. No, but Drew has done what it takes to be considered an all-time great quarterback, man. Look at his numbers. Look at some of the teams he's played for. In an era, well, a team and a coach that doesn't even really believe in running the ball. He's done this basically one-dimensional by just passing the ball. I've had to go against Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. And I love Peyton Manning. I told a story earlier today why Peyton is my all-time favorite.
Yes.
But I put Drew in the same conversation, man.
Where are the conversations?
When you're preparing for these guys, you prepare the same way. Drew can do the same things to you that
except
Peyton can do,
MVP.
Except Drew's not sexy. Drew's except not 6'5". Yeah. But I don't know what happened that season. Like, what's that season? Like, I need to go back and do my homework, and I will. Some of the seasons that Drew went over for the 5.
Which of the 5 you got to
bring up? When he went over 5,000 yards. Like, what happened? Did AP go for 2,000? Did something else phenomenal happened that didn't give Drew Brees the MVP?
He was second 3 times.
We can't just say, he's in the conversation now. Just because he didn't win it doesn't mean he's not great.
See, I look at Peyton Manning, who essentially changed the league from the standpoint of, here's a guy that will orchestrate an offense from the line of scrimmage, and he was kind of the guy that got credit. The narrative is he's got credit for doing those things. I mean, I've watched Peyton in practice in Denver. Oh, I know he did.
Yeah.
But I watched him in practice. Like, John Fox once walked up to me. I'm watching practice. Mm-hmm. And John Fox says to me, we do blitz pickup every day because Peyton Manning demands that we do blitz pickup every day. We're the least blitz team in the league. Nobody blitzes us, right? And not one coach was talking. Peyton Manning ran the practice. And I'm like, but John, you're the head coach. Why don't you just say, we're not going to do this anymore? I go, oh, are you kidding me? Peyton Manning wouldn't allow it. Well, this is what we do. So he changed that. But there's a lot of quarterbacks that have come along under that and said, okay, well, this is how we operate. Drew Brees is one of the top, 5-6 quarterbacks that's ever played this game. Just because he doesn't have the MVPs, well, I understand when Brady's winning a world championship and Peyton Manning's
messed up. Get my Twitter off out.
Yeah,
five or six greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah, get that.
Have you 71,000 total yards? He's played without defense. The guy has played. I mean, he's 6 foot tall. and he has been able to put the numbers up that he has put the...
I get the little underdog story. I love it. Okay. I love
it's
the underdog
story. It's not even about being the little underdog now. These numbers put him in the category of these big top dogs.
Hold on. He just said top five. I did hear six, but you didn't really land on that. What a Brady out there. What a Montana. What a Peyton Manning. What a Marino. What a Elway. I mean...
Steve Young.
Like, we...
What are we doing here?
Turn around and look at that picture. Look, he's like Peyton's little brother. Look how...
Also, the yards are longer when you're shorter.
They're grading on a curve.
What everybody says, come out in the draft. Hey, accuracy is the most important thing. He's the most accurate quarterback in history.
Okay.
Drew Brees is.
Okay, but let's talk about losing seasons then. And I hate doing this. When you're splitting hairs amongst greats, you start to compare and then you look like you're taking shots. I'm not taking a shot, but two losing seasons for Peyton Manning included his rookie year, 3-13. Drew has had six. So when D'Angelo says, I want to look into every year, there are six losing seasons with, you're saying, a top five quarterback in NFL history?
Elway had two.
That's tough to swallow when one guy has two and one was his first year in the NFL. And that was a horrible team why he was the number one overall pick in Peyton Manning.
I mean, we like to throw numbers out when it benefits us.
Yes.
Because
that's called speak for yourself.
No. Seriously though.
What?
Drew's teams aren't anywhere comparable to Peyton's teams. I'm talking teams. It takes a team to win a championship and to win football games. But Drew, I feel like, has single-handedly at times. It's been times when we went to play those guys, we didn't know who else was on the roster.
Right.
All right?
I get that.
And Drew was still the constant professional. Every single snap, you know what he's bringing to the table. And it's very similar to the same things Peyton does.
Yeah. Peyton's had and more.
Peyton's just not sexy. Drew's just not sexy.
Yeah.
Drew's not on the commercials. Right. Drew's not known. He's not in a big market.
He ain't 6'5". Right. He ain't MVP.
And by the way, that the accuracy thing, who throws it down the field more than Drew Brees?
Right.
In the league, the way it's currently constructed, and I would like to reel something back. Five or six all time. Yeah. Five or six of that generation. All right? Five or six of his generation is where I was trying to go with that. It didn't come out right.
I'll take
it. All right. To another guy breaking records this year, Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
The Chiefs quarterback is off to one of the hottest starts in NFL history, but he will face his toughest test yet against the Jaguars' vaunted defense on Sunday. But even Jags coach Doug Marrone sounds like he's in awe of Mahomes, saying he can't put into perspective how well the young quarterback is playing. I think there's no shot that the Jaguars slow down Patrick Mahomes. He just had his slowdown game against the Broncos for three quarters and then came back out in the fourth quarter and became a monster. I expect to see that monster against the Jaguars.
Yeah, let me plagiarize the great Trent Dilfer, one of my closest friends and minds when it comes to football. And he said...
Y'all got the same hairstyle. Go
shut ahead. That. there's no defending the perfect pass. And as a former defender, I don't care what position you're in, you can't defend the perfect pass, and more so than anybody we've seen of late. This guy throws perfect passes. Well,
you know what, though? He's not going to throw 35 perfect passes out of 48 attempts.
Good point.
Come Sunday. And I just think that this Jacksonville defense, they're built different. When you can just rush with three or even four at times and drop the rest of those guys in coverage, it's going to make for a long day for old Patty Mahomes here. Mm. Because I'm telling you, that defense will not...
You're a non-believer?
Will not... No, I'm not a non-believer. Okay. I think Patrick Mahomes is an amazing talent. Okay. I want to see him do it for the full season.
Yeah.
But this is one of those. This is one of those matchups that's going to humble him a little bit, or not even humble him, because I feel as though he is humble in his approach, but I think we as the media, we tend to crown
humble
him.
We're
crowning him.
Yeah.
And so I just think this is going to bring him back down to reality. This defense isn't what he's going to face every week.
Right.
And so we'll see him go against the best. You talk about Tyreek Hill calling out Jalen Ramsey saying, yeah, I want to see this dude, because people saying, I'm good. We all know he's good. Let's go. Let's match up. That's the kind of one-on-one matchups you're going to see. And I'm telling you, if that front can rush him with three and four guys and allow everyone else to play coverage, man, they linebackers can run. Mm. Like, Pat Mahomes is not going to be running out this pocket and think Miles Jack and Tevin Smith
hard
can't
enough,
can't
man.
Go
Marcus
get him.
Mariota beat man. Them. I mean, you act like this man. Team is all world. I'm like, telling they, you, they're this, beatable. Marcus Mariota with one arm, with one hand, beat them.
They will be they will be ready.
Okay, I'm listening.
And Doug Marone's trying to make sure.
Right, I'm 100% with you when it comes to this Jacksonville Jaguar defense, not only from a back-end standpoint. Their linebackers can run like none other. They're physically, they will dominate a line of scrimmage. What was the thing you said earlier in the program? I was listening. I was over there kind of taking a little nap, and I heard it because it resonated with me. It was something about do and doo-doo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Your do
so
or
the
your
doo-doo, doo-doo is the Chiefs' defense. And let me just tell you on the doo-doo aspect of that is Doug Marone understands complementary football, and he understands the value of playing smash-mouth football and not letting Patrick Mahomes. I don't care how healthy Fournette is. That doesn't matter to me. They will physically dominate the line of scrimmage. Hey, how healthy – you know, you look at Freeman had 8 carries in that Monday night game, averaged 9 yards a carry. Lindsey had, I don't know how many carries he had, but he averaged almost six yards a carry.
True.
The Broncos, they came out in the very end of that game, had an opportunity to salt it away. They came out on 11 personnel, and they threw a bubble screen, and they had come in, line up with 2 tights, line up with a fullback and a running back.
They're
going to keep Mahomes on the sideline. And that defense, let me tell you, that defense is for real, and they're going to be fresh because of the complementary nature of the way they do it. I think Jacksonville upsets them.
Here's what blows up your whole deal. When they're down 10 in the second quarter, they're going to have to throw the football. And that's what Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, we already know what Andy Reid's first 15, 20 plays looked like for 2 decades. Mm-hmm. He's going to put some points on the – last week was the first time they didn't score on their opening – a touchdown on their opening possession. They had to settle for a field goal. Andy Reid is going to figure out a way to put 2 scores on the board and make Jacksonville have to play catch-up.
Make Blake Bortles play catch-up without Leonard Fournette.
I think Blake Bortles can even beat this Kansas City defense, man, to be honest.
All right, welcome back. Mark Schlereth and D'Angelo Hall are back. Let's move to Pittsburgh, where the Steelers' offensive line made no secret of their displeasure with Le'Veon Bell's holdout earlier in the season, but now appear to have mixed feelings about Bell's expected return to the team in week 7, with Marcus Gilbert saying, quote, "I wish we could have him back today. Why is he taking so long? Why wouldn't he come back here and be around the guys and see us in the eye? I don't know. I know we're all waiting on him." While Ramon Foster says, "If he's not here, he's not here. I'll believe it when I see it. We'll go with who we've got this week. And when he comes back, he comes back." I said this yesterday, and I stand on it. Le'Veon won the negotiating war. He's humbled his teammates from Big Ben to the offensive line. They need Le'Veon Bell. This is all just white noise.
I thought it was white noise because of the violation of the code. And you talking about my money. Keep my damn name out your mouth. Can you please? Respect. But then you've had time to process this, and you're still talking about me? And I'm already saying I'm coming back? Oh, okay, that violation I won't forgive. And you know why? Because first time, shame on you. Second time, shame on me. So I think before I was with you, I'm going to go into that locker room, pull them to the side. Hey, man, you know what you guys said before, all's forgiven. I get it. You wanted me. The thirst was coming out. But this time, when you already know all the criticism has come your way, every single former player is like, I've never seen something like this, and you're still going on record talking about me? Oh, I got a problem with this one.
But you know what, though? It's not going to matter. When those guys get in that locker room, it's going to be all kumbayas. We've all seen it. We've all been a part of fights in training camp where it's drag-out brawls.
Yeah.
You hate that dude.
Mm-hmm.
Get in the locker room. Man, you know it's all love, bro. Let's keep it moving. We all here to do the same thing, and that's win. And that's what I feel like the vibe will be in that locker room. When Le'Veon gets in there, because at the end of the day, we're men. We don't like discussing our feelings and talking about this or that, right or wrong. Nobody's going to go in there and pull nobody aside. Hey, man, I ain't like the way you said that about me. Ain't nobody going to do that. I promise you, ain't nobody going to do that in that locker room.
Yeah.
Those guys going to carry on like business as usual, like nothing has ever happened. But Le'Veon's going to have it in the back of his mind.
Nah, this is in the front of your head.
He's going to have it in the back of his mind.
How many times have you had a training camp fight? We all have, right?
Oh, a lot.
How many times you fight the same dude? That one doesn't end well. We fighting again? Marcus Gilbert, you talking again? Oh, okay. This ain't going to end well, bro.
I wish we could have him back. Why is he taking so long? Why wouldn't he come back here? I don't know, because you're all a bunch of Benedict Arnolds. You're all a bunch of backstabbers. One, this is so anti-offensive line, it makes me want to vomit.
Yeah.
Like, that to me is, I've never seen an offensive lineman talk So, I mean, that just points to the dysfunction of this.
Explain that, Stink, though, in terms of there's a culture of offensive linemen just not – and Denver was strongest.
Right, think about the offensive linemen. You're the last rung on the ladder. You're the last – I mean, you're one injury away from being a fan. You can't go – and once the offensive line, you can't go anywhere else. You can't all of a sudden transition to linebacker, you know, lose some weight. You're the worst athlete on the team. So, we don't ever talk about nothing. We are 100% – we don't want our names in anybody's mouth, because why? It's usually just a holding call. Uh-huh. You want to be able to lay it on the line for each other. Five guys together as one have to do a job so that everybody else can shine.
Yeah.
And that's what you do as a group. And then to have them out here talking about some guy's money, some guy who happens to be exceptionally valuable to this franchise, that the franchise basically said, we don't want to give you a real contract and you guys are going to put it on him. I'm embarrassed for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think that offensive line's a bunch of frauds. And to me, you know what? If that's the way you guys go about your business, if I was Le'Veon Bell, I'd come in, do my business, but I wouldn't want to be, I'm not picking out curtains or going to eat donuts with these guys.
The offensive line thing is very weird. In Kansas City, when they had a great offensive line with Willie Rolfe and Brian Waters and Will Shields, they used to fine guys if your name was in the paper.
Yeah.
They had a little kangaroo court in the locker room that it cost you money if you made it to the newspaper. This is off-brand for offensive linemen.
Now, isn't it amazing that they're talking about a guy who's made them money, who's made them look good because of all the rushing yards and the passes out of the backfield? The stereotype and the reality is offensive linemen, they're the tightest-knit group, and they're the smartest of all. Like, you see the offensive line, you're like, it's hard to penetrate that group. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to the cafeteria, they're there. They're right there next to each other. You come back in the locker room, they're there. They're always this tight-knit group, like you said.
Yeah.
Anonymous as well. I don't get this.
I don't get it either. And when it first came out that they commented on Le'Veon's money, I was totally taken off guard because, like you said, I've never been in a locker room where anyone's ever spoken up against a player because it's us against them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Us
upstairs.
Against them, you know? Like, you talking about me getting paid is not going to get you paid.
Preach.
So
let me ask you, Marcellus, let me put you on the spot. Any of this a bad look for Mike Tomlin?
Not to me. Let me pull that back. Coach can go out there and say, if I hear another word spoken about Le'Veon Bell, there's hell to pay. Yeah. And I've seen that before, and we've seen that in certain situations. Belichick certainly would be like, that's not happening. So in that respect, yeah, but I just think that Le'Veon's going to walk in. He's going to look around. He's going to have issue with these guys. But like you said, that first carry, they're going to be best friends because it's time to go out there and make some money.
All right, today we're talking Andrew Luck, who will face off with Tom Brady and the Patriots tonight on Fox. Luck was supposed to be a once-in-a-lifetime talent, but he hasn't exactly lived up to the hype and all those expectations. My rating for him has fallen a bit to a 67. Mm. I have him as a role player right now. I'm not big on his character. That's where, Marcellus, I think you have him.
Yeah, I got him higher than that.
Yeah, you got him.
What's the issue with his character? Let me hear.
I just don't think he's a leader. I think when you talk to people in Indianapolis that remember how Peyton Manning commanded that franchise in that locker room, Andrew Luck's nowhere near that.
Well, he had a bad team. It was a 2-14 team. As you said, 11 wins. Playoffs kept going further and further. Then injuries derailed him.
That presence in the locker room in terms of taking command, what he will and will not tolerate, Peyton Manning left a big blueprint and a big shadow, and Andrew Luck hasn't lived up to that as a leader. Andrew Luck is a goofball, man. The beard, the whole thing, some
Flip
of his
phone.
Things he says are awkward. I'm not beating up on the guy, and Peyton Manning is a terrible hard standard to live up to.
Yeah.
But that's where I have him a little bit down, just as a 16 character, you know, job performance. I got him down 3 points, but 67 overall.
Ooh,
you got him a little higher.
You taking shots at Oliver Luck's son and in character, Oliver Luck, that dude's an angel. Okay, fine. Here's my 78 I give him in terms of a total approval rating. Job performance, I got him up, actually, because he played well against the Texans, and you're starting to see, despite some limitations, he's putting up numbers, you know, especially since the start of the season. All-time greatness, I still have him below the average, I would say, because he hasn't lived up to those expectations. So we talked about that earlier. Best prospect since John Elway stopped. Character is high for me, though. The Stanford guy who's never had any issues outside of an injury that was in the offseason. No scandals, nothing to report. And like I said, this is Oliver Luck's son, man. The dude's a little angel.
I'm going to just tell you where I'm struggling at.
What?
We opened the show talking about Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
And the media's been letting him get away with murder and blah, blah, blah. You have him at a 25 authenticity, and you have him just 2 points away from GOAT status overall. It doesn't seem to add up to the guy that was a little bit critical of Andrew Luck earlier in the show.
Well, if you look at these four categories, two of them are on the field and two are off the field. And that's why he's getting a pass, because he's winning the press conference. He wins it. He's authentic. He has great character. Just the performance is not living up to it like we expected.